up, everybody? Welcome back to Couple Things
with Sean and Andrew,
a podcast all about couples
and the things they go through.
Today it is just us, and we are continuing our series kind of through our relationship, through having a kid, how it affected our relationship, how we're still working on our marriage and this whole new dynamic of having a third human in our lives, just all of it.
We're coming up on 1 year, so we're doing a lot of reflecting. And boy, were our lives different before a kid.
So different.
Yes.
I always laugh. I'm like, what did we do? We did nothing.
Yeah. I kind of feel like we did.
We do with our time?
We did a lot of things that like seemingly didn't matter that much, but yeah. We have a good show planned out. Shauna put a lot of effort into this one. Mm-hmm. We have stats that we'll get to in a second that are kind of jarring. Yeah. But before we jump into it, if you guys haven't yet, subscribe to the show, give it a rating, helps us out. And today we are talking, as Sean said, about how our marriage changed after we had a baby. So let's just hit the stats real quick, because this is pretty appalling when you think about it, but believable when you experience it. So for 83% of couples, the arrival of their first child constitutes a marital crisis. Yeah. Crisis, yeah. For 83%. Married people who have kids are actually happier than unmarried people raising children, and their happiness quotient appears to increase with each additional child. Okay, so mm-hmm. Married couples are happier than unmarried couples when it comes to raising a kid.
For this statistics
in this study. That is a huge disclaimer. Let's see. About 90% of couples said they felt less happy in their relationship after having a child. 60% said they were less confident that they could work through marital problems. And many have reported lower levels of dedication to the relationship long term. Couples said they also experienced more negative communication and more problems in the relationship after having a kid. But here's the thing. Okay, that's all pretty grim. I could tell.
This is a really uplifting.
Here's the thing. They say that once you get about 7 years into parenting, kids are actually more likely to keep
couples together. It's a terrible statistic.
No, it's not. No, okay. I don't think so. I think
so. You just have to make it 7 years, ladies and gentlemen.
I think it might take that long to actually find a groove of how to raise children.
That is a doomsday thing as well.
Yes. So all of the stats kind of lead to three ways that marriages are affected. Okay.
These more statistics?
No. This is just the trends that the statistics show. Childbearing and child rearing years are times during which marital satisfaction tends to decline. Mothers and fathers are more likely than the childless to experience depression. Interesting. And three, studies have shown that couples who have had a first child are less satisfied with their marriages during the first postpartum year than they were late in pregnancy. So up until the first child. Anyway.
One in five Americans have, quote, learn a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Plus, Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Andrew and I have been learning Spanish on Babbel, and it's been so fun. We've wanted to learn a new language for so long and have finally started. We've learned how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants, all without having to consult language apps, which is so cool.
It's crazy how fast your brain picks up a new language when it's presented in a relatable way. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Babbel has over 10 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/eastfam. Again, get 60% off at babbel.com/eastfam, spelled babbel.com/eastfam. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So doomsday.
I'm not trying to, but let's talk about how it is difficult. Well, okay. So now that we've covered the kind of broad, gloomy statistics on what children usually do to marriages, let's talk about what our child did to our marriage. Okay. Because there's a lot that goes into it.
First, since we're in the doomsday and the gloom.
Okay.
I wanted to bring up, we had a little bit of a, I want to say a moment, I guess. Yesterday was actually the 3rd year anniversary of our miscarriage, mm-hmm. which was crazy. I was telling Andrew, it was really strange last night. I kind of just felt the weight of it because every year, I don't know why I do that to myself, but I rewatch our video and just kind of relive it. It's not like I would take anything back. I mean, I wish I wouldn't have gone through that, if that makes sense. But it brought us Drew and it brought us like so many beautiful things. But I felt like that was the beginning of our journey into all of this and how that first affected our marriage, which we talked about. But talking about having Drew, that was a whole new thing. So we left off. Let's try to like spin some positivity here. Okay, so we left off the last episode talking about how pregnancy affected our relationship. And we talked about how intimacy was affected, hormones affected everything, the fear and the anticipation of having your first kid. You just kind of, we felt a little bit like we were living out our life as fast as we could because the world had scared us and said, as soon as you have a kid, your life's going to be over, your marriage will be over, like all these different things. So very doomsday again. Fast forward, we go to the hospital. It is time to have Drew. And I was talking to Andrew about this right before we started this podcast. I feel like, and this might have just been with our relationship, but I feel like up until that moment, up until walking into the hospital where you strip down naked, you spread your legs on like a delivery table and you just bear it all, you maintain some sort of like barrier or distance or I don't know what word I'm looking for there, but you maintain some sort of like discretion from each other. You still feel like you're dating to a certain extent.
Okay.
What am I trying to say here? Are you following?
There's some things that are reserved.
Yes.
Until the pregnancy.
I felt like we were still like embarrassed to talk about certain things, even though we like had a very, very strong and close marriage. I still felt like we were two separate human beings. Fast forward to the week in the hospital where we go through labor and we go through an emergency C-section and we go through these fears and these tears and these massive emotional roller coasters. I felt like I had been literally stripped bare and you saw who I was for the first time in our relationship, truly who I was. And I felt like I was so much closer to you immediately than I had ever been in our relationship.
I felt that way too. I'm wondering why it took pregnancy to make that happen though, or having a child to make that happen.
I don't know. I feel like maybe you can achieve that in different ways, going through different things, whether it's like trauma or injury or something like tragic. But I feel like it was the first thing outside of the miscarriage that you and I had really gone through together where we were so vulnerable. I feel like the miscarriage, I was more vulnerable than you were, just naturally. But I think that's the first thing that affected both of us equally.
Yeah, I mean, having a kid, you just get thrown into the fire and you kind of realize like, all right, we don't have a choice except to do something. And I think what that something is, there's a lot of different styles. You have a certain style. I have a certain style of how to change a diaper, or how many baths to give, or how to feed, or whatever. Like who gets up in the night and who, all of the things that go into taking care of a baby. You have to do it, and you have to just have these crucial conversations, we'll call them, of how it's going to get done. Mm-hmm. And you're both strung out, stressed, tired, and you're a team in like the most beautiful sense. Mm-hmm. I think here's my digestion of the statistics. Mm-hmm. Now having gone through it with one child, and I know that multiple kids is going to change this, but there is so many stressful things. Okay. a million new variables mm-hmm. that a married couple has to figure out. And that can be stressful, or it can be an opportunity to like grow closer. And we've talked about this before, but you and I think at the end of the day had the understanding that we are a team. We are going to make it through this. We are dedicated first and foremost to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so we operated off of that understanding, which made a difference in like, we did get upset at each other.
Yeah. But
it could be like very, very sensitive.
Andrew and I have been talking about this a lot lately, and I'm sure other parents can relate. It seems like we buy our kids clothes and they grow out of them instantly, which is why we are so glad we found the brand Posh Peanut. Listen closely, guys. Their clothes are amazing quality and made from viscose, from bamboo. So they stretch with your kid as they grow and are 4 times stretchier than cotton. They have the cutest patterns too, from florals and Barbie to Disney and Hot Wheels. They have something for every kid that every kid will love, and they're truly made to last.
Jed has to wear his Hot Wheels pajamas every night, and it's honestly... It is adorable. The fabric is really soft and stretchy, which comes in handy when you're still changing diapers.
Oh, for sure. Plus, I swear their clothes get even softer the more you wash them, which usually doesn't happen with kids' clothes.
We also love that their clothes are chemical-free, which means they're delicate enough for babies with sensitive skin, which is something we've been paying attention to for Bear.
Posh Peanut is made for infants and kids, but they also have sizes for moms and dads if you want the whole family to match. And if you're not a parent, consider this the perfect gift idea for any little one. For real, you guys, we love this brand and they're loved by over a million parents. Check them out.
Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off your first order with promo code EASTFAM. Go to poshpeanut.com/EASTFAM and use promo code EASTFAM for 20% off your first order.
That's poshpeanut.com/EASTFAM, promo code EASTFAM. I'm headed there right now.
Let's get back to it. Arguments that I could see tear a couple apart.
Well, I remember, so I think we talked about this in a different podcast, but I remember when we went into the hospital, when we were nearing birth of our baby, I had this consuming fear and almost jealousy of the baby before she was even here, because I feared that I would lose you. And I don't mean like divorce or you would leave me. I mean that in saying a baby, from what people have said before we had Drew and we've actually experienced it, is like the deepest love you could ever know because it's your child. I feared before we had her that she would steal you away from me. And I feel like that's a fear a lot of people have. And I felt like it would affect our relationship, and which it has, and we'll get into. But then you go back to the hospital and, you know, they hand us Drew for the first time. And all I can remember is looking at you and being like, oh my gosh, we did this. And I remember being rolled into the emergency room for the C-section and being so scared and just thinking like, as long as you are here, I'm okay. And I think that's probably going back to what connected us so much, is that vulnerability of like, I have my comfort here, which is you. And then fast forward a week when we're leaving the hospital, I distinctly remember looking at Andrew. We were in the car with this tiny human that we didn't know how to raise or take care of. And I loved her so much already, but I looked at Andrew and I was like, babe, you are my number one. You will always be my number one. But she will now be ours, our number one, and will forever be our number one. And kids will like be together jointly our number one. And I think that's been an important thing for us to remember, because it gets challenging.
Yeah. Why is that saying so? Expand on that.
So we talked about this before we had Drew, of I think the best way to parent if you are in a marriage is if your marriage is strong, your parenting is strong. And if you take the side of your child before you take the side of your spouse, you're already like separating your family. And so Andrew and I think that's why this first year has been more challenging than I think we expected, is because whenever we saw something going wrong between our marriage, or us feeling that separation or feeling tired or felt like an argument was coming up, we would like hit it head on and we'd be like, there's something wrong, we have to fix it. Because we were so aware from day one that if we weren't strong together, we couldn't be the best mom and dad to Drew that was possible.
Yeah. As terrible as it is to like go through, it could be several days or weeks worth of conflict.
Yeah.
I'm glad we did. That was one of the things that we came across when we were researching, is like, it is so easy. I mean, typically our situation is unique in a number of different ways. We both work from home. Mm-hmm. We didn't we bottle fed. And mm-hmm. so I was able to be a part of that. That was huge.
But that caused tension as well.
100%. And it freaking, yes, yes. But usually the mom would, I mean, I feel like we grew up with our mom staying at home, taking care of the kids, feeding, like they're the one who has to wake up in the middle of the night. They don't have a choice to.
You did.
What?
That's how you were raised.
I'm saying if you're breastfeeding, yeah. I as a husband don't have to wake up.
No.
I don't have to. You have to.
No, absolutely.
So this is one of the things we came across, is the person who is the primary caretaker, who in a lot of situations is the mom, they're always with the kids, and the other person gets jealous, or they feel left mm-hmm. out, or they feel uninvolved, and there's like guilt involved. Like there's a lot of emotions. And then there's can be bitterness, and we've experienced this from the primary caretaker mm-hmm. of I'm doing all the work with the kids and it's stressful and mm-hmm. it's not a rational human being yet. Can I just get some help here? So,
well, okay. So to break all of that down, I feel like we've talked about this a lot, and one, I feel like innately we are all very, very selfish, and it takes a child to kind of self-reflect on how selfish we are with our time, with our preferences, with our habits and our hobbies. We like the things we like, and we like to spend time doing the things we like. Well, when you have a kid, you don't have time for that, or you have less time. And going back to, I feel like this is just a thought that I'm going to try to articulate. We were married for 4 years, three before we got pregnant with Drew. We dated for 3 or 4 years before that. It took us 7 years to kind of get the hang of marriage, to figure out as grown adults what our preferences were and how to cohabitate with those preferences, right? Now you add a baby who's not an adult, who can't voice what they need or what they prefer or what they like, being raised by two people who are raised differently from, you know, a mom who stayed home to a full-time working mom to dads who are more or less involved, just difference. That.
All right, as a kid, I used to love when my parents would sit down and play a game with us or do any activity. And right here in our hands, we have the KiwiCo box, which is the activity of all activities for young kids.
The colorful chemistry set, to be specific. So with Drew and Jet and Bear, we try to have really intentional playtime. And that's hard because they're all different ages and kind of in different developmental kind of phases of life. I love with KiwiCo that each month we get boxes specific to their ages and kind of like the activity development phase that they're in. So each box, this one's the colorful chemistry set. This has to do with science, but especially with Bear, it can be really hard with a 4-month-old to know like how to interact with him where he needs to be at 4 months old. And I love in these crates, they actually have cards that say, here are activities or things you can do specific to Bear that will help him identify colors or whatever it is. I love KiwiCo.
There's always something new for kids to discover, like learning about the science of ice cream, engineering robots, or doing science experiments, which our kids have loved yes. recently. Sean is currently holding, as she said, the colorful chemistry kit, which has provided hours of entertainment for our kids. They look forward to their new crate every month, and this one kept them really engaged.
We got to experiment with mixing oil and water, mixing different colors, and watching how different things react. It was so fun. We basically created our own little chemistry lab with the kids, and we could feel their excitement when they got to play around and mix things together. Plus, it barely made a mess, so it was really quick to clean up and to use again another day. It can be hard to find creative ways to keep your children engaged, challenged, and off their screens, but KiwiCo does the work for you, so you can spend quality time tackling projects together.
Redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo.
Get 50% off your first month of any crate at KiwiCo.com when you use code COUPLE.
That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com. Promo code COUPLE.
Like, set our expectations differently in raising Drew together. It just, like, it's this huge mixture of, if it took us 7 years to figure out how two adults can live together, now when you throw a third person that shares your heart, that you care so much for, that you would die for any day, like, that's a huge mixture. That's a huge stirring the pot moment of, you basically just start over. It's like you just met someone on the first date, but they can't walk, talk, feed themselves, take care of themselves, anything. And you're having to do it together. And it's just a lot to figure out.
It's a ton.
Because going back to bottle feeding, rightfully so, because it's how you are raised and it's just how the world paints pregnancy and birth and feeding and taking care of a baby. They paint it as you have the baby, the mom takes care of it for like a year because the mom breastfeeds and the baby's just with the mom the whole time. That was the expectation.
Yeah, okay. I think we're going to get in an argument live, but go ahead.
Oh, really?
Go ahead.
No, well, I don't think so.
Go ahead.
And that was my expectation too. I wanted to. And when that didn't pan out, it put a lot of tension on us because our expectations were kind of crushed to a certain extent.
In different ways.
Yeah. Absolutely. There was a lot of guilt on my side and I didn't know how to ask for help. And on your side, there was a lot of tension because your expectation wasn't fulfilled and it was just a change. Like, we had to figure it out. I don't feel like there's an argument coming.
Well, I thought you were going to get into like, that was your perspective of a traditional parenting model, but it's like, no, but usually if you're breastfeeding, as a mom, for sure, you do not have a choice.
Oh, no, not at all. And I agree with what you're saying of like, that was your preference or your perspective of traditional upbringing. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. I think that's, how do I paint this picture? So back when we got pregnant the first time, I think one of the big things that led us or myself to such pain when I miscarried was the misconception of, it's so easy to get pregnant. Once you get pregnant, you're going to have a baby. It's that naive thinking of, that's how it works. There's no other factors involved except for I'm pregnant and I'm having a baby. And I think the slap to the face was, it's so much more complicated than that. And there's so many different things that can be a factor and come into play and happen that I was just blindsided.
Yeah.
And I think for us, and having Drew with the whole breastfeeding and bottle feeding and raising a kid, TV paints it so in such a black and white weird way that we got blindsided.
I would say that expectations in marriage generally are the most important thing. But this counselor that we consulted for this said that mismatched expectations when it comes to parenting statistically tends to lead to marital dissatisfaction. So that's, I mean, what you're talking about is expectations. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think we're fortunate to have really discussed a lot of things beforehand so that our expectations were set. Mm-hmm. You know, I like But it's one thing to discuss. It's another thing to realize what reality is going to be like. Oh, is that where you're nodding?
I was getting ready to talk about that.
So it's like in dating, I used to be the guy that like kind of tried to set, I would like say, oh, here's the expectation. I'm going to help with everything. Just hypothetical, whatever yeah. situation. But in like reality, I'm lazy just like anybody else. And I like to do certain things. I don't like to do certain things. I'm messy here. I like to sleep, whatever. I have found that marriage and parenting even more so is this constant process of, I mean, it's love in the sense that you're sacrificing your preferences and your habits mm-hmm. to contribute to the marriage or the family unit, you know? Mm-hmm. So
I, reflecting on some of the more recent like arguments, and I say arguments, it's just disagreements and it's just miscommunications that you have to work through. So it's not like they're knockdown, drag out fights. They're just arguments mm-hmm. that we've had lately. There's been a lot of, we've said two things a lot. One, which is I'm trying my hardest or my best.
Dang, preach. And I remember, not enough sometimes.
It's not enough. And I don't remember where I read this, but I read it somewhere way back when we were dating in a book somewhere. I'll have to find it. But it basically said one of the biggest reasons for divorce or breaking up or failed relationships is when both parties give all of their effort, but neither party recognizes it because the effort's being exerted in a way that the other person doesn't understand. And we had a little disagreement in an argument the other night where I was cleaning the house a lot. And I don't even remember what we were arguing about, but basically one of my love languages towards Andrew is like keeping the house tidy. When I don't feel like there's anything else I can do to contribute, I'm like, oh, I'll clean the house so it's like nice. Well, he doesn't receive that at all because it's not a preference to him. It's not something that he thinks about.
I don't care if the house is clean or dirty. Yeah. So it's just like, oh, Sean's just doing this because she likes it.
But then when the argument came about because I started to feel underappreciated and he's like, well, I didn't know you were trying to, you know, love me because it's not a way that it's not a thing that I recognize and vice versa.
I did not say that just for the record. No. I wish I could be so prescient, but go ahead.
He didn't say that, but I feel like going back to Drew and going back to your first kid or another kid, it's such new territory that a lot of our arguments and a lot of the miscommunications we had to do with you were doing everything you could to help, but you were doing it in ways that I didn't need, and vice versa. I was communicating things to you that you weren't hearing, and I was doing things that you didn't need and weren't being seen. And I think another conversation we've had a lot of is we are over communicating so much lately that we're arguing more than ever. And I don't want to say more than ever, like in a bad way, but we're arguing and having like disagreements about a lot of little things, but it's because we've made the choice of communicating everything so that we each know
the one rule in our relationship
is transparency.
So yes,
I just word vomited a lot.
No, I think there's a couple different types of people. Everybody's different. Obviously there's some people who aren't helpful or aren't eager to help. Mm-hmm. I don't think that those people are, this is my opinion, ready for marriage. Cause I think like you just have to be willing to help and probably certainly not overly ready for parenting either. Mm-hmm. Then there's the other side. And I feel like neither of these are better. Neither of these type of people are worse, by the way. We each try to help too much in the sense of like, I will hover by Sean and like just constantly chirp. What can I help with? Can I do this or can I do it that way? And so then we're both always by each other, always giving each other opinions, always like annoying each other when sometimes it's like,
and I'll be on the other side. I'll be like, what do you need? What do you want? What can I do? What can I make? What can I do?
Like this morning, I kind of got annoyed by you. I'm not gonna lie.
Are you actually gonna like admit that something was wrong this morning?
No, not this morning. I'm talking about when I was putting Drew down. Two separate things.
Yeah, whatever. I was trying to help you.
No, you freaking know.
I know, but I was just trying to help.
I was putting Drew down, which we've communicated. That's each of, like, that's one of our favorite things to do, both of us. And Sean came in from a jog and Drew and I are peaceful. We're about to go to bed. The lights are off. And you storm in there, freaking stomping around. You come in multiple times. You turn lights on. I was like, and you said, I got this. And I was like, no, I got this. Go away.
I was just trying to support you.
I bring that up though, because there's different ways that people annoy each other. And that's how we do it. Where some people it's like, oh, you're not contributing much at all. I wish you would step in more. We're kind of the opposite of overbearing the right word?
Yeah. And I think too, it's just we're
overbearing is the right word. Yeah. Okay, great. Now
I think something we struggled with from day one, and are still working towards, is we want to feel appreciated. Everybody does. But you also want to show your appreciation for the other person. And sometimes those both can get lost because you're trying so hard for something that you want to give. And if you aren't getting something back, then you feel resentment. And it's just like, it's confusing. I do have to say, one of my favorite arguments, it was just like a little thing that happened right after we had Drew. We came home and I'm exhausted, just like any new mom, just like any new dad. I've gone through birth, trying to figure out how to breastfeed, and Drew's having a hard time. Just, you're not sleeping, you're not eating, your body is changing. It's just a lot of things. And I was so jealous that you could sleep.
Yeah.
I was so jealous that I resented it. And I remember we were on the couch in the living room.
I'm just going to call it out. I think that's immature on your part, but go ahead.
What?
Resenting me sleeping, but go ahead.
I acknowledge it.
Okay. Bro. Cool. I was just pouring salt in the wound.
Yeah.
Accidentally. Go ahead. My bad. I apologize.
Mm-hmm. I was just acknowledging it.
I'm sorry.
So Andrew falls asleep and I am a week out of a C-section. I cannot sit up by myself. I can't get off the couch, and Drew fell asleep on me. And I remember she starts like crying and I need to get up to go to the bathroom, and you are out. I wasn't sure if you were alive because how you slept through her crying and me yelling at you. I was like, Andrew. And I'm screaming at him. And he's like, you're 10 feet away. Mm-hmm. And he's out. And I start throwing stuff at him. And then you wake up pissed. And I was like, babe, I cannot sit up and I need to pee. How did you not hear her cry? Like, I just remember that being, but
thanks for sharing that story.
But I say that because it's just all so ridiculous after you have a baby, because you're so delirious. Well, and
here's one thing too. And I think we've talked a lot about how exhaustion affected our relationship and amplifying conflict. But I don't think we've talked enough about how it's actually more an issue of identity and not exhaustion. Of you and I are just trying to figure out what our role is now. I'm no longer just a husband or just a guy having fun. I'm a dad now. There's certain responsibilities, and it's like this, it's this identity transformation.
And right? Everything about you changes.
Everything. Like
your priorities, your preferences, how you schedule, get ready in the morning, what you eat, how you act,
your hobby, like there's everything. So much. So it is truly, I think, an identity issue. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm going to just kind of close with some optimistic things.
Yeah.
But the reason that we started off with these grim numbers and statistics is not to stress you out. I think we're here to share our story as much as possible, to help set expectations.
Yeah.
And so like, because parenting, just like, there's nothing more to it. It's stressful. Like if you ask someone who's getting like studying to be a lawyer, they're probably not going to say like, yeah, it's a ton of fun. Like, no, it's stressful, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
it's so fulfilling. It's just, it takes work, just like a marriage, just like anything.
Work means it takes a ton of energy.
Yeah.
And so then like you're drained. And one thing I think is worth saying, and you changed my perspective on this, I compliment you all the time on being a good mom. And this goes to identity too. I don't compliment you enough on being a really good wife. Mm-hmm. That's something that we need to do a better job at, is like, I see you pouring so much effort into parent Drew, and you see me doing so much to help Drew, but let's balance that out and help each other.
You can't forget at the end of the day that each person wants to feel loved as being like your spouse, and each person wants to be loved as being a parent, and it has to be separate, because I don't want to just know that Andrew loves me just because I'm a mom. I want to know Andrew is attracted to me and loves me as his wife.
What's girl, you are bad girl.
Okay. And then I also want him to love and appreciate me as a mom separately. And I think you have to be very aware of that, and vice versa.
Bottom line is too, we'll close with this. I think having a really strong friendship in your marriage and a healthy emotional connection are crucial to being able to get through the conflict and have that trust that, hey, this person actually does have my back. And if you want a family, if you want the joy of having kids, you have to go through the highs and lows. Just know that there are probably going to be more frequent lows, but higher highs, right?
And
it is amazing. It is the biggest joy of my life by far.
It is. And remember that even though you argue, even though you're figuring it out, even though it tested our relationship, not because we ever thought it was going to end, it just changes. We always made it a point to tell each other, even if we were yelling at each other, that we love each other.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters, because that will get you through that argument into the time that you're going to be laughing, hugging, and crying again.
So know that Sean and I believe in you. You can do this. You just got to get through. It's going to be a tough phase. Just get through it and you'll be better for it.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. I hope this helped you, even though we started off kind of on a rough note.
We almost had an argument live on camera.
We'll see you next week.
Yes.
For another interview. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the show, give it a rating. That's all we have for you. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you later. It's the East fam out.
All right, real quick for all of those listening out there. We don't ask for a lot of favors, I don't think, babe, do we?
No.
But we're going to ask you a favor today, all right? If you're listening to Couple Things Podcast on Apple Podcasts specifically, will you please do us this short, quick favor?
We want to make sure you're staying up to date with our show, and Apple's latest iOS update has paused downloads for many listeners. And some of you have expressed our latest episodes aren't being recommended to you on Apple Podcasts anymore.
So here's how to make sure you're getting your episode. And again, this is for Apple Podcasts specifically. Open up that podcast app on your iPhone.
Search Couple Things and tap our show's icon.
And then in the top right corner, you might see a plus follow symbol. If you do, tap it to resume following the show.
If you get a prompt to, quote, turn on automatic downloads, say yes. That way, you'll get all of the episodes. Thank you so much, guys. We're so glad this update was brought to our attention, because we want to make sure we're reaching as many of you as we can.
Love y'all, and we really appreciate you doing this.